Good morning, Chair. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. We're thankful for a beautiful day. This is a gorgeous Lord's Day here as we begin this first Sunday of autumn. And grateful for your attendance here today. We want to just go over any announcements we'd like to share with the congregation. You'll find an insert there in your bulletin with some of these. We have the Heifer Project collection. I believe today is the last Sunday for that. And so if you want to give, please see Deb and put it in the jar there in the back. Also, the scripture calendars are in. So if you've ordered those, please see Deb. Do you want to say anything else, Deb?
Just if anybody has shoebox orders, I know we said November, the first Sunday in November, but as soon as you can get them in, the sooner they have time to fill them. So if you're going to order shoeboxes from Weller's United Methodist Church, ladies that put shoeboxes together, let me know. I already have several orders to give her. And you should have gotten a form in the newsletter. If you don't have a form, I can get you a form.
Okay, great. Shoebox collection is the week right before Thanksgiving, so we'll be emphasizing that here coming up. And also our bake sale is coming up here on October the 9th. So I believe there's a sign-up sheet back there for that as well. So if you can make something, come and buy something, that would be great. Other announcements? We did host a funeral here on Friday. So appreciate the churches being open to serving the needs in our community. Frank, did you want to add something?
Yes, I've got to go out and get them. Got books for the sale that the brother congregations are having. It was given to me by my neighbor.
Disaster auction.
Yeah, yes. The auction. Mm-hmm. So I'll go out and get those and make sure I put them back in the back, and anybody would like to have one, help themselves to it.
Great. Wonderful. Please put that date in your calendar as well. I think it's November 13th.
Yes? One more thing. Like I said in the past, there's a sign-up sheet back there for anybody that would like to volunteer to do a cleaning. I have the schedule if there's a week that suits you better. I don't want to scare you off, because when you're doing a cleaning like out here, that doesn't mean you're washing walls and what is and all that. You know what your upkeep is at your home. You know, you dust the window seals and vacuum a little. So please don't think that you're going to be doing spring and fall cleaning every time you clean. And I suggest that you pair up, like that come in twos, and then one can vacuum and clean the dust out here, and one can go back there in the bathrooms or whatever. Again, this is only, we're going to see how it goes, because we just want to cut some corners. You all know, you've been to the grocery store, you know inflation. Well, it doesn't just hit our homes, it will hit here too. So we're just trying to do things ahead of time to alleviate any tightening of the budget. So with that being said, if it picks up and we do better, we can go back to pay. You know, that's not out of the question. We're just, as trustees, we're trying to conserve. So the sign-up sheet's back there. If you want to take a turn, it would be much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Any other announcements? Let's begin our worship.
Amen.
Our call to worship today comes from Psalms 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It is sure, it is steadfast, it is enduring, and we are grateful for an opportunity to hear again from your word this day. And so, Lord, would you come, Holy Spirit, be present in our midst as we worship you. We pray that you would help us to do that in spirit and truth, and help us to lift up the name of Christ. And we thank you for this opportunity to share together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we ask your blessings, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. We'll start here with our first hymn. It's number 116, and it is Tell It to Jesus. Please join me in standing. May be seated. As we come together, we always want to take time to hear joys and concerns and to pray together and for one another. So what is on your heart today? Joy or concern?
I have a joy. My co-worker, Elaine, that I've asked you to pray for that has contracted COVID, and she's been on a long road. Seeing the light, she's recovering. She's going through therapy, but she's going to make it. And there's another one, co-worker that's husband has COVID and has a long road. He's not doing as well, but just continue to pray for Donette's husband. She said that, you know, he's kind of resisting what they're trying to do to help him. So just pray for that situation.
Okay, thank you.
And I just thank the Lord that I have my family and I have, they're all healthy. Well, except for my Tennessee family, just pray for my granddaughters down there. They, this weekend, they contracted something going on, rashes and all that. So just pray for them.
Amen. Yeah. Nancy?
I could use some prayers. I have two fractures in my coffin.
Frank?
I want to remember, a lot of people here in our church have been having some physical issues, etc. I don't know if I can remember all their names, but the good Lord knows who they are. I know, brother, I took him for a procedure this week, and we just pray that that'll work. Jerry's had some problems. Ralph's had some problems. We know that Alan's been having issues and so forth. Judy, and there's others. I hate to miss them. Forget it. Steve, another one. But the Lord knows who they are. We really need to impress the Lord with our prayers.
We could just go down our directory, right? Everyone. Bob?
Wait,
Pat.
Mike, here we is. After all the rain, we had a funeral here Friday for Shirley Long, which was Alma Jones. I mean, Alma Jones's daughter, Jones. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alma Jones's daughter. And after all the rain we had, and then getting, I told the grave digger, the grave was on Friday. He thought I said Saturday, so I come down here at 8:30 in the morning, Friday morning, and oh my golly, where is he? So I called him quick. He got over here, and thank God everything worked out. It went off the schedule, and we just appreciate the beautiful weather we had Friday, too.
Yes, praise God.
I want to thank Steve over here for assisting me and helping me and locking things up when it's all over and checking things out. Appreciate that.
Great, thank you. Darlene?
Continue, Ricky and Jenny and Steve back here, and Alan.
Yes.
And Jen?
Jenny, yeah.
Some people ask about my wife, Pat. She's doing a little better here. Often when the weather is changing is when she feels it the worst.
Bob's son, Larry, too.
Yeah, Larry. Yeah.
Speaking of Larry, that's a joy for him is his positive outlook on what he's facing. Mm.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Attitude is very helpful.
Yeah. And also, another joy, I finally got to talk to my friend Velma yesterday after her throat surgery. She had not been able, she's going to have to go through for some speech. When she talks, she sounds like someone that had a stroke and trying to speak. But thank you, good Lord, she was able to call me, and I was able to talk to her a couple minutes and be able to do that. And she still would like to be on the prayer list as well, along with all my other unspoken.
Continue to keep her on her prayer list here. Also, I've received a letter from Sister Lois Ann Glessner. We had her back here about 2 years ago, and she is up at Greencastle, works with Joy L. And I just thought there was an interesting paragraph here I wanted to read to you about something that happened in her life. But she begins the letter by quoting Psalms 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And she says about their camping ministry, they had 1,607 campers this summer at Joy Al. Praise God for that. And 139 campers began a relationship with Jesus this summer, and 266 individuals for the total of the year so far. So praise God for that. But what I thought was interesting here was she says, we hear many stories of changed lives, but how long does the impact last? One evening while shopping, I acknowledged a young family and then proceeded to shop. The young mom approached me and asked, "Excuse me, but do you work with kids in that Bible program?" As we talked, she said, "It was a long time ago, and you were sick with cancer." She said, "I had a dream the other day, and you were in it. I prayed and asked God to let me see you so I would know that you're okay, and I see you here." I was touched. It's been 13 years since I had cancer. How did she recognize me with long hair instead of no hair and a face mask. Praise God for bringing us together. So God moves in mysterious ways, and praise Him for that. She goes on to write that that she did have another heart attack in June. It was her third heart attack, and right now blood flow and function of her heart is good, so she's doing well. But she's asked me for prayers for dissolving blood clots. So continue to keep Lois Ann in your prayers. Any others? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. You're invited to kneel or to remain seated. Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord God, we will bless you at all times. Your praise, we hope that it's always on our lips. And we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given us this past week, and for the beautiful autumn, fall, and temperatures, for the changing of the seasons, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move in a mighty way as the harvest is brought in, and we see the fall colors on the tree leaves. Lord, we're grateful for your many blessings to us. For health and wholeness, we give you thanks, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you would meet the urgent needs for our teachers, our kids going to school, and for those that are in college, Lord, for the ones that are on the front lines, for our nurses and doctors, and for our police and firemen, we pray, Lord, for our continued hedge of protection around them. We pray, Lord, you would meet the needs of those that are experiencing wildfires out west, and storms and flash flood, heavy rains in the northeast. And we continue to think of those that are trying to recover from the earthquake in Haiti, and the volcano over in France, and off of France's coast, and just so many things, Lord, in our world today. The civil war that's taking place in Myanmar. Lord, would you protect your people, provide for your people, meet their needs, Lord. So many needs in our world today, and only you can provide. Lord, we praise you for all the blessings of life, and we thank you especially for health, and we pray for those that need your healing touch. And so you've heard the names that are listed here today. We just lift up our church family, Lord, particularly be with Bob and Larry and Jerry, and we pray for Sister Dolores, who wanted to be here today and is not. We pray, Father, that you would continue to help Velma with her speech, and meet the needs of Judy and Ricky and Jenny and Alan and Debbie, and we pray for Nancy. We ask, Lord, your blessings on her. And God, we pray for Pat, not here today, not feeling well. We pray, Lord, that you would bless. Be with Steve. And thank you, Lord, for the grave digger and for the funeral that was able to have here on Friday. We ask your blessings, Lord. We pray that you would help those that are continuing to get well and overcoming surgeries, overcoming the effects of COVID. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our families. I pray for my mother, Alina. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Ronnie. Thank you for the love offering that was given to her. And it touched her heart, Lord, and we're just grateful for that. And we pray you would continue to help Elaine as she recovers from therapy. Be with a co-worker and her husband. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort those who are sad. And we ask, Lord, that you would provide and protect those that are serving. And so we think of Elijah and Caleb and others, Lord, who are on the front lines. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would move mightily in Afghanistan. Help those that want to leave to be able to get out. Protect those who stay behind. We pray for our political leaders, Lord. You asked us to lift them up, and we know that these are difficult days in which we live, and so sometimes decisions are not black and white. And Lord, we just ask that you would give wisdom and direction to our governors, to our executives, to our county leaders, to our mayors, to all who are in positions of authority. We pray you would keep a hedge of protection around their families. We pray for church leaders, Lord. We pray for Gene Hegenberger, our district executive. With the district conference coming up, Lord, here we ask for your blessings on our Mid-Atlantic district for the disaster auction that's coming up, Lord. We pray that that would be a wonderful day, that it would be a profitable day, that it would be a day that many funds are raised to help in the disaster work. We pray for our deacons or for Sunday school teachers, Lord. We give you thanks for them and for their service. We ask, Lord, you would continue to help them and say, make plans for the fall and for the winter quarter. We pray, Lord, for those that are serving in capacities of preaching the good news. And so be with our missionaries here and abroad. We know that there are many needs, Lord. Hear our prayer. Move in a mighty way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Teach us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you to turn to our second hymn here, and it is number 485, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Would you stand with me, please?
Jesus.
Our scripture reading is the letter of Jude, found right before Revelation, and you can follow along either in the Bible or in your bulletin. It's just 25 verses, so I thought we'd read the whole thing. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Solomon and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, rejecting authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending for the devil, when he was disputing about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with his 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? God, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds now would be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. We thank you for this little letter, this little postcard from Jude. And we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story that's told that once there was a poor man with his wife and six children, and they lived in a very small one-room house. It seemed that as the kids were growing and getting bigger, they were just kept getting in each other's way, and there was very little space. It seemed like they could hardly breathe inside this one room. Finally, the man one day just couldn't stand it any longer. He complained and talked with his wife and asked her what she thought they should do. And she finally said in desperation and frustration, she said, "Oh, go ask the rabbi." And so he decided he would. The poor man went to see the rabbi and explained to the rabbi the miserable state of their home and his wife and six kids inside this little place, all they're eating and living and sleeping in one room. And he says, "It's just getting too much." He said that the poor rabbi told the man, he said, "We're even starting to yell and we're frustrated with each other. We're fighting with each other. And just life just couldn't be any worse." And the rabbi thought for a moment and thought about the man's problems. And he said, "Are you willing to do exactly as I tell you? And if you do, I think things will get better. Do you promise?" And the man said, "Yes, I promise. I'll do exactly as you say." So then the rabbi asked the man kind of a rather strange question. He said, "Do you own any animals?" And he said, "Well, yes, we have one cow and one goat and a couple of chickens." He said, "Good." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and take all your animals and bring them inside your house to live with you." Well, the man was kind of shocked and astonished to hear such advice, but he promised that he would do exactly as the rabbi said, so he said, "Okay." And so he went home. He gathered up his animals and brought them inside. The next day, the poor man ran back to the rabbi and he said, "What have you done to me, Rabbi?" He said, "It's just awful." He said, "The animals are all over everything." And he said, "There's just no room to do anything." And he said, "Please help me." And the rabbi listened carefully and he said, "Okay." He said, "I want you to go home and take the chickens out." So the man did. He went home, gathered up the chickens and penned them outside. And the next day, he went to see the rabbi again. He said, "Rabbi, it's still terrible." He said, "You know, the goat is into everything. He's eaten anything that we don't get put out of its reach." And he said, it's just terrible. What, you got to help me. What can you do?" And so the man said, "I'll tell you what you need to do. I want you to go home and take the goat out." So the man said, "Okay, fine." So he went home and tied the goat to the fence outside and went back in. And night came and morning came and he said, "I just got to go see the rabbi again." And so he went to see the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi," he said, "it's a nightmare." He said, "Our house smells like a stable and the cow is making a mess everywhere." And he said, "How can humans live with animals like this?" And so the rabbi said, "Well, I'll tell you what you do. I want you to go home and take the cow out." So the man did. The next morning, man ran to the rabbi and he had a big smile on his face. And he said, "Rabbi," he said, "our home is so wonderful now." He said, "It doesn't smell and everything is just fine." And he found that it was a joy. Still had six kids in one room and his wife, but life was good. And the moral of the story is that perspective is everything. It's not what you see, but the way that you see it. And when we change the way that we look at things, the things we look at change. Perspective is everything. It seems that human nature, it is within our human nature to want to murmur and to complain and grumble sometimes, don't we? What is it that gets your goat? What is it that you find yourself constantly complaining about? Are you a whiner? Now, I'm not ignoring this for myself. In fact, I think this sermon probably is directed at me. And so I do occasionally complain, but you don't hear it. My wife usually is the one who hears it, and it's usually about work. Not this work, the other work. you know, it's usually the slack work ethics of other employees. Sometimes when we're right at the peak of we need people, people call out with questionable excuses of they had a migraine or they're sick or something's happened and they can't come. And sometimes there's, you know, we're upset about some of the policies. This week it was my machine was not running right and I was struggling to get the mail through. And so oftentimes, since we both work for the same company, she's sharing about what's happening with her. And so we share with each other our complaints. And we have to watch sometimes that we don't get out of focus. We have to keep our perspective. And then I was thinking, as preparing for this message, I remembered when we were in Israel, it was unusually wet and rainy, and particularly cold. And our group was complaining, you know, we've traveled all this way, and this was a trip of a lifetime to be in Israel, to walk where Jesus walked, and it was dreary and rainy and cold, and we were complaining to our tour guide, and he reminded us that what a blessing it was. People in Israel were joyful to see the rain. They were glad because oftentimes in a dry climate, this was really a blessing. You know, just to have a few flowers around a hotel or in a flower bed out front, they had to irrigate just to have a few flowers to decorate. And so they were very thrilled with the rain. In fact, one day our tour guide had an umbrella with him, and he laid it down somewhere and was going ahead with the explanation and telling us about the site that we were visiting. And when we went to leave, his umbrella was gone. And some of the folks in our group, they were kind of shocked and taken back. And, oh, my gosh, someone stole your umbrella. And he was like, it's okay, it's okay. He was trying to brush it off. He didn't want to draw attention to it, you know. And he said, they probably needed it more than I did. And I'll just get another one at the next stop, which he did. He wasn't a complainer. He wasn't a murmurer. And so I looked up in the dictionary these words we use, and I thought this was interesting. Webster says to complain is to express dissatisfaction, pain, or distress, to accuse someone of an injury. To gripe is to complain continually, about of complaining. To grumble is to complain in a persistent, bad temper way, to show discontent, to make a low, growling sound in a nagging way. And to murmur is a subdued grumble, is a half-expressed expression of complaint or objection. And it's also what we call a murmur, is also what we call an abnormal sound of the heart, its rhythm. The scripture that I've picked today is this little letter from Jude. And I've always loved this. You know, sometimes when we do Bible studies and stuff, we always focus on the major ones, which is good, and the Gospels, which is important. But sometimes these little letters we get lost or we look over. And I think there's so much meat in this little postcard from Jude. And he cites some of the examples from the Old Testament. And then he writes in verse 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Does that sound familiar? Anyone that comes to mind? Politicians today, talk show hosts, music, movie stars. Oftentimes, saying things that are, we would kind of wonder whether they're true or not. Jude here is writing to the believers of his time, and he calls himself a bond servant of Jesus. I like that. If you remember the sermon from last week, we talked about being a slave of Jesus, being a servant of all. And Jude here saw himself in that role. he calls himself a bondservant, first of all, and then he says that he's a brother of James. This would make him a half-brother to Jesus. Notice he doesn't play the family card here. He doesn't talk about his connection with Jesus. Hey, I'm the brother of Jesus. He doesn't talk about that. He says he's a bondservant. Jude probably came to faith later in life, and it was after he saw the resurrection and tied all these miracles together that he was converted and believed in his brother as the Messiah. And so now Jude is planning to write about the common salvation that they have, their faith in him. And instead, the Holy Spirit changes gears for him. I love this, how the Spirit can move. We talk about the scriptures being inspired, and here's a direct example. Jude was going to write about this, and then he chose to write to exhort the believers to contend for the faith. To contend for the faith. I think it's very important for us to keep love and truth in balance, and to contend for the faith in the day in which we live. Instead of murmuring and griping and complaining, we need to continue to share the truth and to share that in love. One commentary says this: this section is a warning about lasciviousness, which has found its way into the church. Jude was planning to write his fellow believers a letter on the subject of salvation, which they all shared. He saw the need, however, to abandon this plan and to prepare an epistle in which he could urge his writers, his readers, to a faithful defense of the great truths which have been received from Christ and his apostles. He saw that these truths were in grave peril, and so with great earnestness and zeal, he wrote this letter. This little postcard, if you will, just 25 verses he shares. Jude saw the rise of apostate teachers in the church. He gives warning about them, and then gives a description about them, and then he gives counsel in view of what's happening in the church. And so, think about that. 2,000 years ago, Jude was worried and concerned about what was going on. And if that was so much true then, what about today? What's going on in our church today? What's going on in our society today? What would Jude say? I suspect he'd write more than 25 verses. Proverbs 19:3 says, "The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord." Another version puts it, "The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." Sometimes we complain. Sometimes we even complain to the Lord. Why is this happening? What's going on? You know, one of our biggest complaints, one of the biggest giants that we have to overcome in this area is complaining about our health and our circumstances. Complaints can make us feel like we connect with someone because we have a mutual dissatisfaction with something or someone. It might sound like we want to fix an injustice, but griping, while it could be maybe healthy to vent a little bit, it is probably done too much, can be a constant stress on our bodies, and it can affect those around us with negativity. Hanging out with negative people is as bad as hanging out with your own negative thoughts. And so we have to remember to put that little voice to silence in our heads. Oftentimes the enemy will throw in thoughts in our heads. Well, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You shouldn't be doing this. And why? Let other people take care of this. This is not your business. We can give in to those negative thoughts. It's often thought that one of the reasons for complaining is a root of bitterness, which is a major cause of our complaining. So grumbling can not only hurt us, it can affect those around us. But did you know that according to a Stanford University research study, complaining damages or shrinks the hippocampus? That's the area of the brain that's critical to problem solving and intellectual thought. It can shrink our brains. if we do it too much. Do you remember what happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament? One of the things that they were faulted for was complaining, right? And so I wanted to turn to that. It's in Numbers 11, chapter 11. It's on page 164 and 165 in your pew Bibles. And let me just read a couple of verses here. It says, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outer skirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And so they called that place Taberoth, because the fire of the Lord had burned against them. There were mixed multitudes in their crowds, and they were had yielded to intense cravings. So the people of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there is nothing all except this manna before our eyes.'" Remember, the Lord provided bread. Each morning they went out and gathered the manna like dew. "Now this manna was like cornered seed, and its color was like the color of bedlam. Now the people went out and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it into a mortar, cooked it in pans, made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me?'" And we're talking probably about a million people. "Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers?' Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' Am I not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me? If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see this wretchedness." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take out the spirit that is upon you, and will put that same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat.'" It goes on then that the Lord brought quail to them, and they were able to gather the quail and to eat. They were complaining about eating manna, miraculous bread that God provided, complaining about not having meat, complaining about not having water, and these complaints continued. And they affected their relationship with the Lord. Apostle Paul used this event to warn the Corinthians. So I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Notice what Paul says here. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." He's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, In one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. These stories from the Old Testament were our examples. They're examples that are admonition to us as believers today. Paul also wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life." Jude knew the stories of the Old Testament. He knew what took place there, and he used these examples of Korah and Balaam and others, the children of Israel, complaining, because he wanted his readers not to do that. He cautioned them, as we contend for the faith, be careful not to complain, not to grumble. And so the danger of murmuring is that it brings about God's judgment. It affects not only us physically, but it also affects those around us in a negative way. And so as bond servants of Christ, we must watch out for this giant, to subdue this giant as David subdued Goliath, and to come against complaining and grumbling and murmuring against leadership, against what's going on in our lives, our circumstances, what's taking place in our world today. God is still in control, and he knows what's going on, and he's aware of what's taking place, and we are here to continue to speak the truth, but to speak that truth in love, to balance truth in love with our message, to contend with the faith without complaining. And so watch out for the consequences of murmuring, to inflict negativity on others, to decrease our capacity to love, decrease our brain to think, and to bring about the judgment of God on us. The old adage, I think, is very much true, is to count your blessings instead, right? Instead of grumbling and naming our things that we don't like, name the things that we do. Count our blessings. And when we do that, we often find the list is far greater. Our next breath, our health, things that we can't buy, are gifts from God each day. A beautiful day, autumn, the changing of the seasons. And so don't allow bitterness to consume you. Instead, brothers and sisters in Christ, count your blessings. Count your blessings and then share the good news of Jesus Christ. Avoid the danger of murmuring. Would you pray with me, please? Jehovah God, our provider, thank you, God. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. Thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for allowing us to be here at this time, this generation, in this country, to be able to share with our families. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to be known as grumblers or complainers or murmurers. We pray, Lord, that you would root out any bitterness and instead help us to contend for the faith and to do that in truth and love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service today with hymn number 480. Would you stand with me, please?
Shepherd, lead us, much needed under your care.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen.
Praise God.